You know, there was a wonderful movie, Beth Ann, called If It's Tuesday, This Must Be Belgium. But my thought is, if it's Tuesday on the conversation, it must be educational.
Well, today it is. You're right. Good morning, Bill Sage. And good morning, everyone. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. And yes, indeed, we're going to talk education this morning. As we mentioned a little earlier, it's National Teacher Appreciation Day. And you know, too, that for the better part of this century, states have been trying to grapple with the 2002 federal law No Child Left Behind. That is until last December. That was when a bipartisan measure, the Every Student Succeeds Act, became the latest reauthorization of the 50-year-old Elementary and Secondary Education Act. In short, it gave back to the states most of the authority over their education systems, and how that will change Hawaii's K-12 schools is now the job of the governor's ESSA team. Daryl Galera is the chairperson, and he's in our studio this morning. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you.
For a lot of teachers and a lot of educators and principals, trying to grapple with No Child Left Behind wasn't easy, anything but. But there's also the idea that maybe some of the goals of No Child Left Behind weren't so bad. I mean, the idea of having high standards, the idea of having great accountability, being able to make sure that all children could achieve and that every child was really learning well seemed to be really good goals. But now we have No Child Left Behind morphing into being able to have more states have control over how these kids learn and what's happening in the system for each state. Under ESSA, how do you see that changing for Hawaii?
The ESSA law now, you know, devolves power back to the states, and so it provides a huge opportunity for each state and for districts to now design and you know, set their own direction for public education in their areas. So it's a huge opportunity to where everyone is now in a state or district empowered, you know, to not so much to be dictated by, you know, mandates coming from up top, but now what's the best way to serve the needs of their communities and their school districts.
You bring up the idea of mandates from up top, and that sort of pulls us into a conversation about the Common Core and standards and tests. So let's take that apart a little bit. There are teachers who feel that the Common Core is absolutely the best thing that could happen, so that it levels all learning and brings it to a certain place. There are teachers who say it's awful because it doesn't, doesn't really allow it to be as responsive to the kids that you're really teaching. How do you reconcile those two ideas?
I think the way we will reconcile those ideas are to, first of all, make sure we go and we talk and listen to our teachers in our schools and our classrooms. You know, the Common Core as a set of standards may not be a bad set of standards, actually. They're high learning targets, they're high expectations. But again, when you step back and you understand that the Common Core standards are basically standards in reading or language arts and math, then a discussion will come about what about everything else? And so when you have a limited target, you can you then limit the teaching and learning that can happen in a school. So many educators remember before the Common Core, we had standards for all areas, whether it might be health and PE or fine arts or career and technical ed and social studies and so forth. And so again, this, when you look at the Common Core standards, again, an understanding of it is, you know, a specific set that may limit what happens in the schools.
You bring up that once upon a time we used to have standards for all subject matter, and there are a lot of teachers who teach social studies and science who say, we got left out. What happens to bring them back in?
Well, in science, I think many states are adopting the new science standards that are coming across, the next generation standards. And in social studies, there's a new set that's also coming out that people are looking at. But But like we're saying here, if the focus has been limited, then you really narrow the curriculum, you narrow the teaching, and I think it's a this, you know, I think ESSA will give us a chance to take a look back at, okay, we understand reading and math are important, but so is everything else. And the law has a specific focus on teaching to the whole child. And so throughout the law, there's a lot of emphasis that we have to move away from this narrowing of the focus of teaching and learning and get to the whole child type of learning.
Part of that narrow focus seemed to be a result of the fact that across the nation, scores were falling and that kids weren't doing as well. And looking at where the United States had once been with its education system is clearly not where we are now. How do you be able, how can you move into creating kids who can truly, I don't want to say compete because that sounds, you know, a little maybe more tough, but maybe we need to be a little tougher in how kids are able to perform with their peers on a worldwide scale.
I agree. We need to have high expectations, and we need to make sure we have students strive to do their very best. Whether or not something like having more testing is the answer, we need to really step back and think about. When we talk about where our country has been in relationship to other countries and performance on other national tests, such as the PISA, for example, there are countries such as Finland and other places where they are doing very well, but they're not doing any testing of the type that we're talking about. So, but their focus is heavily on teaching and learning and providing engaging, rich, creative, innovative learning experiences for students.
Yeah, you make a good point about that. It's how are you going to assess what's being done in the classroom, and is it heavy reliance on testing? And we've got a lot of kids who are this week and last week engaged in testing.
Right.
And then again, there's the idea of how do you look at outcomes? What kind of outcomes are you looking for in terms of demonstrating mastery of knowledge? How do you do that? What makes the difference?
You know, the real focus on teaching and learning in the area of assessment is what I think many educators refer to assessment for learning, where we're looking at formative types of assessments, not so much the summative, evaluative type of assessment. There's a role for all of that, but the research is clear when we are very intentional and focused and skillful in how we do our formative types of assessments, we will clearly have high increases in student learning. So again, these are some of the big issues that we have to start looking at and talking about more, about what really makes the difference and what priorities we set in terms of making good changes.
The governor's ESSA team has just begun to do its work, but you're its chairperson. What things have to be part of this new direction for you to feel that it's successful?
You know, it's a complex challenge. There are many, many facets and parts to it. One of the things that I think is important, you know, as a practitioner, as a teacher, as a school principal, I think what's most important is to understand the impact of policy on what actually happens in the classroom, what actually happens in the teaching and learning experiences. And also for principals, what happens in terms of their leadership effectiveness. And so I think one of the things I'm hoping our team will look closely at is, again, having a good understanding of what, you know, we look at in terms of policies and what actually happens. If we don't do that, then we can continue to implement policies and programs that may have further unintended consequences that may be negative and harmful to teaching and learning.
A lot of teachers are probably very happy to hear you say that. Thank you for coming in. We'll talk again.
Okay, thank you, Beth.
Daryl Galera is chairperson of the governor's ESSA team and is retired from the Hawaii Department of Education after a 32-year career as a public school educator. He's now an education leadership consultant with the Hawaii Center for Instructional Leadership and the executive director for the Education Institute of Hawaii. That's a nonprofit think tank and advocacy group for improving education in Hawaii.